Go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14. And if you'll just listen on purpose tonight, if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, and we can go home, all right? And or we can just fellowship a little while. We don't have to be in a hurry to leave, you know. And Matthew chapter 14, we do have choir practice after church, so we'll get those things in, all right? Matthew chapter 14. I don't remember if I said anything to you. I think we did on Wednesday evening. I told you Brother Blanton's dad passed away, okay? So do remember to pray for him. Or his grandpa, excuse me, not his dad, his grandpa. His grandpa passed away, so remember to pray for him, that family. Matthew 14, now we're going to kind of dive in right in the middle of the story, okay? We're just going to jump right in there, but I'm pretty sure this is a story that most everybody's been around church any amount of time, or you're in Sunday school any amount of time. You've heard the story of the Lord and Peter walking to the Lord on the water, and that's what we're reading here, all right? And we're just going to jump, though, right in the middle of it in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, we're going to stop right there, all right? We're going to stop right there, all right? Now, I know we're familiar with this story, all right? We know how it ends. We know how it ends, and we know that, all right? And I'll be honest, I think because of that, Peter has really taken some lumps. And, hey, Peter's like us. He definitely had his problems, don't we all, okay? We've all got our problems. We've all got situations. So I've always tried all my life not to jump on Peter too hard, okay? Hey, after all, he was kind of brash. He was pretty cocky that night when he told the Lord, "You aren't going to wash my feet." You know, he's pretty brash, pretty cocky. He opened his mouth oftentimes before he thought. Now, none of us, of course, have ever done that. But he did, all right? He was impetuous that night. He grabbed the sword off of that servant and cut off the ear of the fellow that was after the Lord Jesus Christ. So he could be pretty impetuous, and you know, he was pretty fickle too in denying the Lord. You know, here he is, the guy that said, "Man, everybody forsake you. I'll never forsake you." And that night he denied the Lord three times. And when the opportunity arose, he was like many of you. He was quick to go fishing, all right? He was quick to go fishing. But tonight, okay, if just for a little bit tonight, I want to tell you, let's hear it for Peter, okay? Let's hear it for Peter just a little bit, all right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? We take just a little bit of time here in the Word of God. But Lord, we're here to hear from heaven. And Lord, I ask you to help me to say what you want me to say tonight, say what needs to be said, and Lord, not to just do it because I think it's a good idea, but Lord, you lead me and guide me and help me to help your people. In your name I pray, amen. Peter was not always wrong, okay? He wasn't always wrong. Now, we're humans. We tend to forget. We tend to remember when people mess up. We tend to remember when people mess up. We can go a long time and have a list of things that people have done right and wonderful and helpful. But hey, we can still remember that time 15 years ago when they messed up that one time. And sometimes we're very quick to bring those kind of things up. I just want to point out here, Peter wasn't always wrong, all right? And that's illustrated by what we see here. So let's hear it for Peter tonight. First of all, I want you to see this. Peter had the right desire. Peter had the right desire. Notice, he wanted to go to the Savior. He wanted to go to him. And that means one thing to me. He wanted to be nearer his Lord. Now, though, folks, that's a good thing. That is a good thing. One of the most well-known songs in gospel music is "Just a Little Talk with Jesus." And that's what most people want, just a little talk. And most of the time, we want to do the talking. Lord, let me tell you, all right? Let me tell you all my troubles and all my problems, and then I'm out of here, all right? But Peter had a desire to be near the Lord. And I think he had a desire to be near him, not just for a minute or two, but for spend a while with him. Well, how good it would be if we would seek in our life to be closer to the one who died for us. I mean, if that was a trait in our life, that we constantly were seeking for an opportunity and for time that we could spend with the Lord. Most people look for something else. You know, with one thing we try to do at church, we have three services a week, four if you count Sunday school, all right? You say, what's the purpose of that? One is to let you spend some time with the Lord. Let you spend some time with him. Hey, time with God's people and time with the Lord. You say, well, wait a minute, it's just with his people. No, he said, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So I believe he'll show up, we'll come. I believe he'll do it, and well, to have that desire. So we have services at church. We have Sunday school. We have Sunday morning service. Have Sunday evening. Have Wednesday night service. One of the purposes for those is so we can be with the Lord, all right? Now, the good thing about it is you don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till Wednesday. The book of Hebrews said, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. Hey, we can come to him. Just commune with him. And man, it's a good thing to do, to spend some time. Open his word. Let him speak to you. Let him speak to you. I've told you before, I've talked to tons of people that say, yeah, I pray. I pray. And I say, yeah, I've got a cousin like that. He said he prays a lot. And I know him. I know him well. And he's the kind of guy I'd like to tell the Lord a lot, but I'm not sure he wants to listen to what God has to say. Hey, we need to hear from him. We need to meet with him. How good it would be. I believe Peter had the right desire. He had that right desire. He said, I want to get out of this boat and I want to go to the Lord Jesus. I want to be closer to him. Now listen, I don't think he was seeking fame. I don't believe he was looking for recognition. Now we know what happened. We know that the next verse says, when he saw the wind boisterous, all right? Now, I don't believe Peter was looking back at the boat saying, see, fellas, see me. I don't believe that's what was going on. If that's what was going on, I believe the Bible would have told us that. It wasn't that. He wasn't out there for recognition. He wasn't out there for fame. All right? It wasn't a matter of sensationalism. Now, we like all of those things. Human beings, for the most part, we like those things. We like that which is sensational. Now, you say, well, I don't like recognition, and you may not. That's fine. We may not like fame, but hey, we like that sensational stuff. We can see it, you know. It's amazing. If something's out of the way, I like to go look at it, all right? I like to see it. If it's something that's really amazing, if a guy's going to jump 47 buses on a motorcycle, if I could get there, I'd like to go see it, all right? And it's interesting to me, all right? It's interesting to me. When I was a kid, Paul Anderson, world's strongest man at that time, still holds the record for the most weight lifted in one lift. He came to Baudelaire, Georgia, where I live, and he put on three exhibitions. It was sensational, especially to a little old kid. I thought it was amazing. We were there. I was there on the front row, okay? Man, I wanted to see it, all right? Wanted to see it. Hey, we like that, but I don't believe that's what Peter's doing. Peter wasn't seeking that sensationalism. He wasn't desiring to be that, but he had a desire. His desire was right. He wanted to be near the Lord. God help us to want that. We have a song that says, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain. Oh, we ought to have a desire to be near that cross, to be near our Lord. There ought to be that. Peter had the right desire. Not only that, I want you to see this. He was headed in the right direction. He was headed in the right direction. You say, what do you mean? You say, well, you mean going to Jesus. Yeah, that's part of it. But the other thing is it was away from the crowd. It was away from the crowd. The crowd here was in the boat. That's where the crowd was. Said it wasn't a very big crowd. It's all right, that was a crowd. There they were. Now that crowd was afraid. You look back there, you still got your Bible open, Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. They were afraid. They were afraid. That's the crowd in the boat. Peter said, "I need to get away from that bunch, all right? I need to get away from that bunch." Too often, folks, in our day, we want that crowd. But there's a good thing about a crowd. You can lose yourself in a crowd. You don't have to stand out. You can hide in that crowd. I've known some folks that were gifted by God, great talent, and could have been used by God in a great way, but they would go to a church where they could get lost in the crowd and had no responsibility and nothing to do, nothing that they were accountable for. They could just go. And, hey, if it's a big crowd, if you don't show up, nobody misses you. Nobody misses you if it's that big crowd. Hey, but you know what? If it's a smaller group, people say, "Hey, so-and-so's not here. Their place is empty. Their place is empty." Well, I'll tell you, that's a good thing. Peter had the right idea. He was headed in the right direction. Smart is saying, usually the crowd's going wrong. Usually the crowd is going the wrong way. We get swept up in a crowd, all right? It'd do us good to get away from that crowd. Take your Bible, would you, and go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, just for a moment, would you? Hebrews chapter 13. Just want to look at one verse that the Bible's talking to us here, all right? In verse 13 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, the Bible said, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go unto him, outside the camp, all right? Outside the camp, without the camp. Hey, we need to get away. Sometimes we need to get away from that crowd. It's a good thing to avoid them. To avoid them. Crowds usually headed the wrong direction. They're drawn to the wrong thing, all right? It's good for us to stay out, to get out of that crowd. It's good for us every now and then to step out on faith. Just step out on faith. Here, that's Peter. He's stepping out of that boat. He's getting away from the crowd, headed in the right direction, going to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the right desire. Man, we need to do that every now and then. Now, the crowd had a lack of faith. Be honest with you, in most churches, it doesn't matter how big or small the church is, in most churches, it is a small percentage of the people in the church that do the work. Small percentage. It's not the whole crowd that's involved. It's a small percentage. The big majority, they don't do the work. All right? They come, they sit, and as somebody said, they sit, they soak, and they sour. All right? Now, oftentimes they do because never get up, never do anything. Never serve the Lord. Man, I want to be involved. Let me do something for God. Let me exercise my faith. All right? That crowd had a lack of faith. They weren't willing to step out and do it, okay? They weren't willing to step out and do it. Hey, he had the right desire. He was headed in the right direction. Not only that, he made the right decision. He made the right decision. So what was that decision? To get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. You said, well, so you want us to go fishing and everybody get out and try to walk on the water? No. Not unless you can swim or somebody's got a life jacket handy or, you know, something to throw to help you. Not asking to do that at all. He said, what do you mean, preacher? I mean this. Every now and then we need to stretch our faith. Every now and then we need to stretch our faith. Just every once in a while, stretch it a little bit. I'll be honest, I don't think it takes that much faith to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It doesn't take, I mean, what's the options? The options, trust Christ, whose promise, if you call upon me, I'll answer you. If you call, I'll forgive, I'll save your soul. Now, the other option is do it yourself. Do it yourself. I mean, that is two options. You either do it God's way, that's come through His Son, or you do it your way. Now, the Bible's already said, our way won't work. But you've got the chance. How much faith is it to do it when there's really only one real good choice, all right? Only one real good choice. I mean, I can remember coming to the table and sitting down to eat. And I don't know what it's like at your table. I mentioned to you my grandmother, she'd have three meats on the table and a bunch of vegetables and all that. Man, it's not that way when we eat. Here's what we're having. This is it. Now you got a choice, eat it or don't. Now, I've always found the easy choice was eat. Just eat. Well, it's not my favorite. Doesn't matter. I can eat it. I can eat it. Now, on occasion, it wasn't my choice. Because my parents said, you eat it. And they were serving something I didn't like. I mean, it smelled good cooking. Smelled okay. It looked all right. The gravy really looked good. The gravy tasted good. It was a meat wasn't fit to eat. Because that meat was liver. God never intended for a man to eat that stuff, all right? But my dad said, eat it. So what'd you do? Well, we ate it, all right? I baptized it in ketchup. I mean, total immersion. I did everything I could, but I still had to gag it down, all right? I ate it. Now, I'd have preferred to skip the meat. I could have eaten the vegetables, give me a piece of bread, put the gravy on it. The gravy was okay, but just that meat, forget it, you know? But I had to eat it. Hey, listen, it wasn't a bad thing. Normally, I sat out at the table and said, all right, this is what we're going to eat. You know, do I have to eat it? No, you can go without. Well, that's an easy choice, right? See, that's what I'm saying. It didn't take much faith to trust Jesus Christ. But every now and then, we need to stretch that faith a little bit. Every once in a while, we need to stretch that faith. We need to decide, you know what, Lord? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I mention this every now and then. I'm going to mention it again. One of the ways we stretch our faith is we learn to give. We learn to give. We just honor God with our tithes and our offerings, okay? And it begins with the tithe. You recognize the fact tithe belongs to God. I give the tithe, all right? And I found if I'll do that, God will take care of me. He can take care of me on the 90%. He can do that. And then some crazy, you know, they have something around February. They have a thing called a mission conference. And, boy, we get up there and we have these missionaries come, and somebody said, boy, you ought to give to missions. He said, okay, I'll take half my tithe. Wait a minute. No, no, no. See, we want you to stretch your faith a little bit. We want you to stretch your faith a little bit and say, okay, Lord, I'll give to missions. I'll give to missions. I remember when I started giving to missions. Boy, it wasn't much. Yeah, it wasn't much. But I've learned I can stretch that faith a little bit. Stretch that faith. I found that, boy, God blesses. God bless. But our problem is a lot of that we never find unless we decide to stretch our faith. Peter made the right decision. Peter made the right decision. He said, Lord, if it be thou bid me to come into the water, he said, I'll do it. You know, I trust you enough. I'll get out of that boat. And hey, the truth is we need to be moving forward instead of just staying in the boat, okay? It's easy to stay in the boat. Don't rock the boat. But boy, sometimes it's good for us to stretch that faith. Hey, we talk about giving. Do that. And then somebody brings up the idea, hey, you know what? It'd be a good idea for you to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You to tell other people. And we immediately begin to list all the reasons we can't. All right? I mean, that's the first thing. Anytime we hear preaching that wants us to do something, the first thing that comes to mind is why we can't. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do that. And well, that's what first thing comes to mind. But it's amazing. And we tell you, hey, you know, if you just start with handing out a tract, you know, you can hand out a tract without even looking at somebody. You know, hey, if you don't mind, would you read that later, Steve? You don't have to do that. So what if they turn it down? Well, take it back. Man, most of the time, 90, well over 90, 95% of the time, people take tracts. Well over 95% of the time. They'll take them. You say, well, they throw them in the trash can. Well, maybe somebody will pick it out of the trash can and read it, all right? I don't know what's going to happen to it, but I'm just telling you, stretch your faith a little bit. Stretch your faith a little bit. Begin to talk to people. So what are you saying? I'm saying you need to go forward. We're in this business of being a child of God. We're in the Christian faith. We're serving the Lord. We've been born again, but God didn't save us to sit in the boat. He didn't say, all right, enjoy the boat ride. No, he said, get involved. Get involved. Here you are. Serve me. We ought to stretch our faith every now and then. Peter had the right idea, made the right decision. He said, don't want to be stuck in the boat. You guys are here, nothing against you guys in the boat, but I need to be moving forward instead of just staying put. Let's keep moving forward. So here he is. He had the right desire. He was headed in the right direction. He went in the right direction. He made the right decision, okay? He made the right decision. But the fourth thing I want you to see is he had the right dedication. Notice how he said it. Notice in Matthew 14, notice what he said in verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. He said, preacher, what do you mean he had the right dedication? Peter knew he was going nowhere unless the Lord was in it. He knew, Lord, unless you're in it, I'm not going anywhere. Hey, the right dedication. The right dedication. Now, you could have said, Peter, you should have stayed in the boat. But I still want to point out to you, the Bible said in verse 29, he walked on the water. He walked on the water. Now, we don't know how far. All right, we don't know how far it was. All right, but he walked on the water. You with me? He went there, and I've got a feeling it was a little bit of a distance, all right, because they saw him walking on the sea, and they didn't know who it was, so it wasn't like he was right there at the boat. They saw him from a distance, didn't know who he was, and he spoke to them and said, it is I, be not afraid. And the Lord said, and Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, maybe he's saying, I heard him, sounded like him. Sounded like him. I'm just telling you, he had the right dedication. He realized, if God's not in it, I'm going to make a mess. I'm going to make a mess. Listen, how much of your life have you approached that way in life? How much of your life? Really and truly, that ought to be our approach to life. Paul got saved, I believe, right there on the road to Damascus. First question was, who art thou, Lord? The second question is, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Look, that ought to be us. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Well, I want a career as a, pick something, okay? Deep sea diver. I don't know. I don't know anybody here's ever wanted that, so we'll pick that, all right? I want a career as a deep sea diver. Fine, if the Lord's in it. Amen. If the Lord's in it. If that's what God wants you to do. That's what God wants you to do. You need to pray about it. You need to seek his will. Need to find out what the Lord want me to do. I don't know what the Lord wants you to do, but you need to seek his will about it. And our attitude, Lord, it ought to be, Lord, you let me know because I don't want to be involved because I know it's going to be a flop unless you're in it. Unless you're in it. Hey, a lot of people would have done a lot better in marriage if it had been some time spent in prayer before they got married and before they even asked the question. I've said it so many times. Too often, we pick out the person and we say, Lord, here's the one I'm going to marry. What do you think? Good job, huh? Well, you've already made your mind up. Yeah, you've not inquired of the Lord. We ought to come at it with that right attitude, okay? Right attitude with the right dedication. I realize I'm not going to do it by myself. But Lord, I just want you to know I'm not trying to do it by myself. I'm relying on you. I'm relying on you to help me. I promise you, when I study to get ready to preach, it's, Lord, what do you want me to preach? Lord, what do you want me to preach? I don't get up here and think my brother needs to hear this. Brother Marshall needs this sermon. I'm preaching to him. All y'all can listen while I'm preaching to him. I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? Lord, what is it you'd have me to preach? Because I realize if I get up here and it's all about me and my ability and what I can do, things aren't going to work out worth a flip, all right? I'm relying on him. Lord, to rely on him. Lord, to rely on him. Now, I think we got some talented musicians. think we've got some talented musicians. We've got some that are practiced and practiced and practiced. And that's good. But boy, I tell you what, I hope when they come and they get ready to play at church, I hope it's, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me to play. Lord, help me to sing. Help me to sing. Why? I'm relying on Him. I'm relying on Him. Hey, He had the right dedication. Now, just a few questions tonight, and we're done. Number one, do you have the right desire? Do you have the right desire? We can talk about Peter. You can like him. You can run him down. But he had the right desire that night. Do you have that right desire? Do you really want to be close to the Lord? Do you really want to spend time with Him? Hey, I tell you, I don't want just a little talk. I'd like to have a long chat. I'd like to have some closeness. I don't want to just know Him on a, you know, hey, you know so-and-so? Well, I met him. I met him. No, do you know him? How much of a relationship do you have with him? There ought to be that desire in us. Have you got the right desire? Hey, are you headed in the right direction? Are you just worrying about, well, I'm sticking with the crowd. I don't want to find myself out there all by myself, you know. No, hey, are you headed in the right direction? You headed in the right direction? I mean, is your life going the direction it ought to be going? Hey, only you have the answer for that. I don't. You headed in the right direction? Making the right decision in life? Are you stuck in the boat? Are you stuck in the boat? Making the right decision, stretching your faith. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I want to stretch that faith. I like to step out every now and then by faith and trust God, do some things. Boy, we need to do that. Hey, is your dedication right? Are you relying on Him? Or is it all just you and what you can do? Your talent, your ability, your gift of gab. Hey, are you relying on Him? Or as a Sunday school teacher, when you teach that Sunday school class, it ought to be, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. If you're doing anything, Lord, I need your help. I want to be sure I'm in your will. I want to make the right decision. How about those just four simple ideas, all right? Are you having the right desires? Are you headed the right direction? Have you made the right decision? Are you making the right decision? Is your dedication right? He said, well, preacher, I don't know if I'm making the right decision. Well, you need to hit the altar and say, Lord, help me to know what to do. Help me to know what to do. Or to pray about things in life. Seek His will. When Peter said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come. Peter didn't get out of the boat until the Lord said, well, come on. Come on. Then he got out. It's the will of God. Are you doing that? Is that where you're looking? Hey, preacher, I'm old. What difference does it make? Well, you're not dead, are you? So it still matters. Still matters. Well, I'm young. I've got a lot of time. Hey, you'll waste a lot of time if you're not careful. Waste a lot of time. It's your life. What are you doing with it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Hey, Peter, he did some things right that night.